Hello and welcome to Hope Church Online. It's great that you can join us here today, wherever you are. You're joining many people from Australia, England, America, India, wherever you are. Thank you for joining us. And it's great to have you tuned in. Please interact in the live comments, questions, discussions, scriptures, encouragements. Let's get talking and let's keep the community of Hope Church alive in these times. So, I want to get into our preach today, but I want to kind of like get your mind thinking about positioning. The title of this preach is called Where Are You Positioned? So let's talk about positioning in itself. Think of a footballer, a defender, who's not positioned correctly on the pitch. He allows a route through for the attacker to score an easy goal if he's not positioned correctly. Think of a husband and wife and their roles and duty in the home. If a husband's not positioned correctly in his home, or a wife not positioned correctly in her home, you can find many back doors and entries for many issues in a marriage. What about a student? If a student's not positioned correctly in terms of revising and being learned and studious with their work, they may not pass their test and they may have to retake another year or find an alternative course which they never plan for. Positioning. We're going to start with Psalms 1-3. This is all linking into the preaching series currently, which is Psalms, Songs for Every Season. So let's turn our Bibles to Psalms 1:1-3, and we're going to find out a bit more about what this scripture means. We're going to break it apart and look into it deeper. Something that's really been close to my life. Matter of fact, this very week, I've been tested with the very thing that I'm preaching on today. And it's been incredible, because it's great to see firsthand how God is working in my life concerning the scripture. And hopefully, as we open up to his word, he works in our life too. So let's read Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in a seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So let's get stuck in. Firstly, are you around people who will stunt your growth? People that will cause you to stumble? See, the first part of that verse, when we look at blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful, we can see these are all terms of living and life relationship. Let me give you an example. I'll walk with you. I'll sit with you. And I will stand with you. These are all terms of relationship. These are not terms of brief moment relationships, which you may say a hi and a bye, or hi, how you doing? I'm fine. It's not talking about that. It's talking about relationship. It's talking about influence. It's talking about time spent. I've learned this thing over my life. Whatever I behold, behold is another word for looking intently at, observing in depth. Whatever I behold, I become. So I kind of learned to apply that. Charles, whatever you're looking at, whatever you're drawing in, whatever you're intently observing, you will become that thing. Never underestimate the power of influence. Never underestimate how easily manipulated we can be as human beings. Over time, it wears away, almost like the billowing waves bashing against the limestone rock near the coast, eventually erodes away and takes away more and more of the cliffside. Influence will happen regardless. So be sure the influence is right. Be sure the influence is good. Be sure, as a Christian, the influence is godly. I cannot stress this enough, because I'm sure in your own life, as you're hearing this, you're reflecting on moments where you've been influenced wrong. Especially by friends that haven't really pushed you on the right path or drawn you over to what is good. And you've done things that you regret, things that you wish you never did. Are we all in that boat? But this scripture is reminding us to be mindful of the people and relationships we have in our life. Because if we're not, then our heart becomes easily manipulated to do what is wrong. So point two in this first point is, guard your heart with all diligence. See, Proverbs 4:23 says, a wonderful verse, I really love it. I keep repeating it throughout my day, throughout my week, because I have never found a verse really that speaks to the heart so well and protecting it. It says, guard your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart, keep your heart in all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Keep it safe. Guard it. Protect it. Fortify your heart. There was one situation I was in with one of my good friends, and she helped me bring together a project, and we worked on getting to market, you know, this product and project. And the parameters changed towards the end because it was a project over a long period of time. So new measures and new processes have been brought in place through, you know, social media and whatnot. And she came to me and said, oh, hi, Charles, can you pay me for this? And I was like, well, one second. Originally, there was not, this finance weren't discussed. This was kind of like a free service for each other, you know, skills, you know, trade. Now, instead of me going to my friend and saying to her, look, let's have a discussion about this, a candid conversation about this, and let's just be honest, I pulled myself into isolation and I worked myself up into a crazy frenzy. I went round and round the bend. I was pulling out things, I was creating situations, scenarios, I was referencing the time when, you know, the agreement was made, and I just literally went into a very, very bad place. My heart created an issue. My heart weren't guarded. My heart was an open field, ready to be trampled and trashed. I literally created something out of nothing. When in your life have you done that? When in your life have you not only counseled with yourself, but counseled with ungodly advice? Self, that advice that is ungodly. And has caused you to create something out of nothing. Keep your heart. Guard your heart. Fortify your heart. That's how you protect yourself against ungodly people. That's how you protect yourself from getting involved with sinful moments and sinful actions. Guard your heart. Check it with the Word of God. Is this a right conversation I should have? Is this gossip? Is this slander? Am I building up? Am I knocking down here? Do not be deceived. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good habits. Man, is there ever a truer word than that? Bad company corrupts good habits. It's almost like you have 15 apples in a bowl. One goes bad and it corrupts all of them. So much more quicker than it would have if they all went off together. There's great pictures in scripture, you know? And that if we miss that, we will miss how God is transforming us through His Word. We read it, we see it, we apply it, we do it. Guard your heart. Keep it safe with the Word of God, with the advice that God gives. Godly friends, godly people. That's how you guard your heart. And it's a challenge for me every day, because sometimes old relationships come back into your life. Old habits come back into your life. Guard your heart. So let's go on to how we truly guard our heart and maintain that. Verse 2 says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. 1. Delight in God's Word. This is a remedy. This is a, it's like medication for the soul. Delight in God's Word. See, the law is God's Word, the Bible. It teaches commandments. It teaches conduct. But God doesn't just want you to just read it. He wants you to delight and rejoice and be happy and be full of joy when you come to read His Word, because you know it's life. You know this is going to solve my situation. See, when you're happy and you delight in knowing God's word, it becomes life to you. It becomes living waters to you. It becomes alive to you. See, God's word, it restores marriages. It restores broken relationships. And it also restores broken mindsets. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It restores broken mindsets. But it doesn't just stop there, there's more. Not only do we delight, but we meditate on God's word. You know, I used to be, meditation is all this humdily stuff, you know. I was like, no man, Christians aren't supposed to meditate. But I was naive to think that. We do meditate, but the Bible teaches us how to meditate. Go over it again and again and again and again. Because meditation kills anxiety, you see? When you meditate on God's word, it kills anxiety because you have time to go over it again and again and again. And you're assured on the goodness of God. Bad advice gets squashed and destroyed. Deception can't stand in the truth and the light of God's word. And many other heart issues that may be coming up in your heart, you'll be like, oh, actually, God's word says this. Oh no, how are we going to pay that? Be anxious for nothing. You know? Oh, I feel like I'm in the same loop and pattern. Do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the scriptures, by the word. I can't stress this enough. Meditation in God's word kills anxiety, bad advice, deception, and many other heart issues. So think on his promises. What he says, what he tells you to do, think on that. Think on the great miracles God did for the Israelites when they were in Egypt. The wonders that God did for Jacob. The wonders that God did for Paul and Peter. The amazing things God did for Esther and Ruth. Meditate on those things. Read over those stories again and new life will come out as you chew over the word. Fill your mind with God's word. Fill it. Fill your mind with God's word and apply it to your life. And pray over it. You see, there's the loop. Read, apply, pray. Read, apply, pray. And go over it again and again and again. Not monotonously. It's not like chanting. It's a life-giving going over it again. Reading over it again. New things pop out. New study pieces come out. And it becomes life to you. It starts to heal the mindset, the heart of many of the issues that it causes. And what you face. Charles Spurgeon, the 19th century Baptist preacher, said, man must have some delight, some supreme pleasure. His heart was never meant to be a vacuum. If not filled with the best things, it will be filled with the unworthy and disappointed. Remember, you become what you behold. I'll say this again. You become what you behold, what you look intently at, what you observe with graphic, you become that. So behold God's word. Observe his word. Look intently into his word, how it concerns your life. I'm convinced that every single thing that we face in our life, all the troubles and the challenges and the hardships and the ups and the downs and the peaks and the troughs, all of that can be solved and be found a remedy in God's word. I believe that wholeheartedly. And it's a challenge each day that when I find myself in a funk, when I find myself in a place where I don't want to be, or a challenge and a weakness in life, God's word comes to me. And I'm like, I needed that. But if I didn't put it in, what would I reference? If I didn't put it in, what would be life to me? If I've got bad advice from friends, and I'm taking that as my advice, and I continually, perpetually put myself into more damage. You become what you behold, so behold God's word. Now let's go on to verse 3. And this is where we can truly unpack this and find out about how, you know, our positioning and where we are is so important. Verse 3 of Psalms 1-3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. So secondly, what are the benefits of being positioned correctly? Great fact. Did you know the coast redwood in Redwood National Park, California, is 379 foot tall. It's a tree. That is the same height, here it is, as the ArcelorMittal Orbit in Stratford outside the Olympic Stadium. That big red structure that looks like a theme park ride outside the Olympic Stadium. It's the same height as that. A tree. That's incredible. I find that absolutely amazing, honestly. Now, isn't that a great picture of a tree that's got good roots? A tree that's got good nutrients, good sunlight. It's positioned correctly. It's not a little shoot that can get trampled underfoot, but it's this incredible structure. 379 foot in the air. That's phenomenal. Planted. Where are you planted? See, good roots have strength. So in your life, what strength do you have? Where do you draw your strength from? What's your plug? Is it shallow? And you get your advice from friends, family, finance, or approval? Now, these things in some regards are not bad at face value. However, they can be weak. They can be brittle in the face of true challenges. Or are your roots deep? In God's word, in prayer, meditation, fellowship, godly friends. This is where the Bible is telling us to place our roots into God's word, into his presence, into spending time with him, into reading our Bibles, learning and drawing and taking in. This is where our roots should be. These are deep, strong roots. The kind of roots that make you steadfast and immovable. Planted in God's word, planted in his truth. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Be steadfast, immovable. And check the next word, abounding. See, that's a lifestyle. That's living. That's where are you living? What's your loop? What's your consistent habits? Abound in the work of the Lord. Abound in what God's work is about. You see, a tree near fresh running water will never wither away. It has everything it needs. It will never lack because it consistently has the nutrients, the refreshing water that it needs. It's so basic, and it's a great picture that David gives us in the Psalms here. There's another area that I have to keep reminding myself of. I probably struggle here more than anything else, is seasons. Do you understand the seasons of life? I sometimes stand in the mirror and I say, Charles, do you understand the seasons of life? Dormancy in a tree preserves it. You see, it preserves it through winter. See, the leaves draw nutrients. The leaves make the tree work harder. So it sheds its leaves in order to survive. Because it's necessary. It has to go through that in order to survive, to make it to spring. We ourselves need to have this in mind. That sometimes in our life, seasons. We're in a season of, there's no fruit. We have a leaf though, it won't wither. It will not die off. So don't lose hope. Keep meditating. Keep delighting in God's word. God promises you that you will neither wither when you are planted in Christ. You will neither wither or die off when you're planted in Christ. Now here's another scripture that, again, these things go over my mind. I use this as warfare to fight against the anxiety and the deception and the lies that the world, the flesh, and the devil perpetually send to my mind. John 15:5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." Another picture of agriculture, another picture of how it looks. How God mirrors a plant, mirrors a tree to our lives. There's so much you can learn from gardening. I garden at home and I really like it. I'm not a gardener, but I enjoy gardening. I don't know how that makes sense, but make of it what you will. See, we will prosper when our position is in Jesus, when our roots are in Him. I am the vine, you are the branches. You need to be connected to Jesus in order to prosper spiritually, I believe physically, financially, emotionally, mentally. All of it needs to be connected in Jesus. God will always bring good and wonderful things through our tough situations. I genuinely believe that. I've gone through so much stuff as a Christian. I mean, some things that I feel like, how did I come out the other side of that? But then I look at the fruit that's born out of that and the help and the care I can give to others who are going through the same thing. I can see how God has brought goodness out of my tears, out of my weaknesses, out of my back-breaking moments. Because He's a good, loving, caring and merciful God. See, we serve a God who can do incredible things. He can bring miracles to life in us. See, we will prosper when we regard righteousness as our priority. When we regard who's around us. When we regard delighting in God's word. When we regard meditating on His promises. When we regard where we're positioned. So my question to you today is, where are you planted? Are you planted around people who gossip? People who backbite? People who slander other people's character? Are you around people who consistently complain? Are you around people who disregard good for evil? Are you around people who have no intent on wanting to do what is good? Has it helped you into the person God wants you to be? That's a question for yourself, isn't it? That's a question for me. Has this relationship with this person helped me into the person that God wants me to be? Do you find yourself talking to them and getting them out of complaining? Stopping the conversation that is full of gossip and slander? Do you find yourself being an influence in that place, or are you influenced? One of my friends said a wonderful line to me. He says, Charles, whenever you walk into a room, don't be a temperature gauge, be a thermostat. Set the temperature. Don't just be influenced by whatever's going on. Go in and set the temperature. And even more so as Christians, set the temperature where you are. Have a high regard for goodly, godly conversation. Have a high regard for righteousness and holiness. Search the scriptures. David says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I won't sin against you. Search for these things in your heart. Question your friendships. Question those people who influence you. Question what's around you. Don't just live life and be on automatic. Be on manual. Have decisions at every step of the way. Because it affects not only moments, it affects your life. So this week, let's do this. As I'm going to do it, you try it as well. Two new habits. One, let's stop ungodly conversations. Ungodly advice by walking away immediately. By removing ourselves from that situation or influencing it to draw out what is good, what is godly, and what is right. Let's be consciously awake to make those decisions. Let's guard our heart. Let's not make unnecessary issues for ourselves by allowing this negativity and these things that draw the soul down to get in. Let's guard our hearts. And two, let's spend time reading, applying, praying, and meditating on God's word. Let's spend time reading, applying, praying and meditating on God's word. And I believe when we do these things, and we train in these new habits, we'll be positioned correctly. Because you can hear God's word speak to you regarding sin, regarding circumstances around you, so you know how to walk in holiness. How to be upright, as the scripture says. I believe you'll be positioned correctly because your relationship with God will grow and some great things will happen because you'll experience God in a new way. Because you know Him via His word. I believe you'll be positioned correctly because you will prosper in all that you do. Because you'll know the moves to make that will be God-focused. Have God's signature in mind. Be positioned correctly. Remember, you become what you behold, so behold God's word. You become what you look intently into, what you spend your time soaking in. So soak in God's word. Become like Christ through the word. I hope that was challenging for you, because it's not just challenging for me, but it's a continuous walk. This is not something that you pass the test on. It's a lifestyle walk that you're continually going to go through throughout your Christian walk. So I hope it's challenging to you, and I hope it refines you, and I hope it lifts you up. I'm going to pray to close off. Jesus, thank you for the righteousness that you've given to us, Lord, through the death on the cross and that resurrection, that we have life in you. But Lord, you call us to holiness. You call us to living right. So Father, I pray we'll check our friends. We'll check those people who influence us, whether it's music or media, whether it's books or tabloids, wherever the influence is coming from, Lord, we will check it and we'll run it through a rigorous routine to say, is this building me up to what God wants me to be? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we will start to delight in your word. That we'll start to have joy in your word. Lord, that we will meditate again and again on the goodness of your word, because it's life to us. It's more than just a book that we read. This is life. This is you we're reading, Lord. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, Lord. You are your word. And Father, I pray that, Lord, we will be like a tree planted by rivers of living water that bring forth fruit in its season, Lord. That we won't lose hope and think we're going to die off in a down season, in a season of dormancy. But we know that when we're planted in Christ, we know that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that we have life. That's a promise. And Father, there's a season coming around for many people watching here today. They're like, Lord, what's going on? When will there be some vibrancy and vitality in my Christian walk? It seems like everything is dead around me. There's no fruit. How are we going to live? How are we going to survive? How are we going to pay this? How are we going to do that? There's fruit coming. There's a season of fruit around the corner. But Lord, it's our duty to stay planted. It's our duty to stay positioned correctly, to your word to be in us, that prayer to be a lifestyle, Lord, for us to be rooted in the vine who is Jesus Christ. So Father, Lord, I pray for hope into the hearts of those who feel that this is a dormant season. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those who want to bear fruit in their lives, I pray, Heavenly Father, for a hope. A hope that doesn't disappoint. Oh Jesus, I pray that minds and hearts will be fixated on you. Fixated on you.